up, Sheeps?
I am going to post the link to those eBay celebrity dolls on the Q page, just in case anybody needs an Al Roker doll.
Right. An Al Roker Cabbage Patch Kid. Oh, my God. Joel Kahn is in studio from the Pismo Beach Veterinary Clinic. How are you? Good to see you again.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We wanted to bring you in because we had a lot of good response to talking a veterinary chat. You know, it was birthed out of a situation with my dog where I was just kind of confused and just kind of wanted clarity. And for some reason, I feel like I can get that in here. Like, if I have somebody of a profession in these, you know, confines, I feel I can ask my questions and not look odd. When I'm doing it in your office, I feel like I'm being annoying. So which I probably am. So and then I went to the Facebook yesterday and said, hey, if you have questions for any vet, so I'll give you a couple of viewer things that came in. But my uncle, I see on my the Facebook, my cousin, on Saturday they took their dog in, a 2-year-old Newfoundland. Now, Chiba, you know what a Newfoundland is?
Those big ones that look like bears. They
literally
huge.
Look like bears. And let me see if I can find a picture, because this dog just had the coolest look to it. You know, I mean, it looked like a big bear. Anyways, my uncle takes it to their vet to go get groomed every Friday.
Wow.
And they could get a call from the vet saying, oh, the dog's not letting us touch its ears, you know, to get the ears cleaned. Can we sedate it? They're like, oh, yeah, whatever, sedate it. Well, the dog has a heart attack and dies under sedation. And my uncle, I mean, I can only imagine how I feel about Allie. Should that have happened? I mean, Cheech, come on.
Horrible.
You'd just be devastated.
Absolutely.
In which he is. Yeah, check out a picture of that, Joel.
Yeah.
Aren't those...
Look at that big old doggy.
Newfoundlands are really cute. So anyways, I kind of was wondering, just wanted to bounce it off you, like, how often does that happen? How does that happen? And what do you do as a vet? I mean, that's got to be a really crappy call to make.
Yeah, it's every vet's worst nightmare, obviously. But
and
every
when something
vet
like this happens, do you initially think negligence? Do you initially go, oh, what did they do wrong?
Well, I'm sure owners do, yeah. I mean, that's the first thing that's going to cross your mind. You know, statistically, it's actually not very common. They've done a lot of studies looking at this and dogs and cats. And in dogs, it's about one in 2,000 dogs that will die under anesthesia. And that's different than sedation. Sedation,
oh,
I would
it?
Say, is much more rare. They haven't really studied that by itself. Cats are a little bit higher risk, about 1 in 1,000, something like that. But, you know, it's every vet's worst nightmare, because we do everything we can to keep these procedures as safe as possible. But sometimes unforeseen things do arise, and it may have been, you know, it's different in every case, of course, and we don't know, I don't think, all the details here. But, you know, sometimes there may be undiagnosed, you know, heart disease, or, you know, there may have been a congenital problem in this dog that
even
one noticed.
Even just like a 2-year-old healthy bouncing puppy.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And in giant breeds, you know, there's probably a little bit higher risk anyway.
Is there a way that, you know, when you have one of these bigger, I mean, this is a bigger than a big dog, you know what I mean? Is there certain ways you sedate them, or...
Not really.
Do you have to use less of the stuff or more of the stuff even because...
Yeah, I mean, there are certain breed predilections and ways we choose things, but there's really not one drug that suits every breed kind of thing. And we base it on the individual patient. So the most important thing is assessing them before the procedure, doing a thorough exam, listening to the heart, you know, questioning the owners to make sure there's no history of disease. But even with that, sometimes there'll be things that go undiagnosed. For example, you can have heart disease and not have a heart murmur or any symptoms.
Right.
And, you know, there could have been a congenital. This dog could have had a hole in its heart or something like that.
One thing you asked me off the air was the dog fasted? I mean, did the dog not eat before it was sedated?
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, the dog was just normal. So it was eating breakfast. Do you normally want to fast before?
Yeah, that's a factor. I mean, so, you know, the way anesthesia works or sedation, if we know an animal's going to be sedated, and it may be in this case they hadn't planned for it, we always recommend, you know, at least a 12-hour fast ahead of time, because there is some risk of regurgitating and aspirating in the procedure. And so that's one of the most important things as an owner you can do, is make sure you listen and follow your vet's instructions before a procedure like this. Fasting is going to make it safer. So that's number one right off the bat. And then, you know, other things that we do to try to make these things as safe as possible is we do pre-anesthetic blood work. We check the liver, the kidneys, electrolytes, make sure there's no pre-existing issue.
See if this dog would be able to go through what we're going
to
do.
Right. And sometimes we find stuff that we weren't expecting in an otherwise totally, you know, on the surface, healthy dog.
So somebody, when was the last time you had to make a call like that?
It's been a long time. I mean, I think every vet, if they work long enough, will have a few of these cases.
And do you initially go right into defense mode because you're thinking you're going to get sued?
No. I mean, I think, you know, the average veterinarian is, you know, this is just an awful thing to be responsible for, because ultimately, regardless of whether we were directly involved even in the procedure, they're under our responsibility as animals in our hospital. And, you know, my first, you know, making a call like this, I break the news right away, try to explain what happened. But the truth is, you know, there's no right way to make that phone call, because as soon as they hear
what's happening. What an awkward way to get off the phone, like, okay, thank you, Dr. Khan, bye, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's natural to be concerned about, you know, legal things. But, I think that's not going to be the first concern.
Somebody's not thinking, and they're grieving all of a sudden.
Sure. Right?
They went from them being a customer of yours to now a grieving person.
You're walking someone through shock, essentially.
Yeah. Gosh, that's got to be wild. Yeah.
It's pretty terrible. But, you know, I think the key with something like this is to be compassionate and empathetic and make sure that, you know, people get their questions answered and understand, you know, beforehand, you know, talk about that, you know, these procedures do have some risk. There's there's no anesthesia that's risk-free, regardless of the dog or the situation. And it's the same as true in humans. I mean, if you look at some of the human studies, the numbers vary significantly. But I did a little research last night, and the numbers vary from 1 in 600 to 1 in 7,000 human anesthetic deaths.
Right. Oh, wow.
So it's not that uncommon, even on the human side. And
sure.
Of course, we're dealing with, you know, much more, in many cases, much higher budget, you know, higher trained staff, those kinds of things that can make a difference.
Very cool. How's the biz been?
It's good. We're busy. Yeah.
Very good.
Busy.
Cindy asks, you know, she says, we got a new kitten. Crazy about playing with marbles. Should I be worried she's going to choke on one? That seems kind of obvious, right? I mean, if it can fit in their throat, it's going to...
Yeah, I mean, just treat that kitten just like you would a little kid. If it can fit in their mouth and they're playing with it, it can be a problem. And just last week, we did a surgery to remove, it was actually like a little end of a zipper from a kitty's intestinal tract.
Oh, man, it won't just pass through?
Well, some of them will. And
Allie's
I have
passed through some crazy stuff. I'm like, where did you get that? Like a Cabbage Patch Kid of Al Roker?
Yeah, I have a friend whose dog eats rocks all the time. And he's done everything he can to stop this dog, and it passes rocks. And fortunately, we've never had to go to surgery, but it can just be the one thing. So don't take any risks.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. We'll continue with Joel Khan.